لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد وقال تعالى في مقام آخر الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب وقال تعالى ولمن خاف مقام ربه جنتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان صدق الله مولانا العظيم Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us by not only being part of a blessed day, not only being part of a blessed moment, not only being part of a blessed environment, the masajid, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَيْرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ Being in an environment like this should have the ability to create a spiritual vigor in a person. We are also part now of a very blessed month. It is a time in which individuals that have saved their entire life earnings at times have chosen to go to the Ka'batullah. There are individuals that at this point in time may be going through difficulty because of the Hajj, but at the same time their du'as, and because of them, inshallah, our du'as are going to be accepted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds a way to bless us, finds a way to have our du'as accepted. My brothers and sisters, we all may have $5,000 or $6,000. That's the minimum cost of going for Hajj. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only chosen a few individuals to go for the Hajj. Allah, there are many people that have been and went to that environment, wherever they may have been, but last minute for some event or the other, some occurrence or the other, they had to go back to the countries. Yet, that selected few out of 1.5 billion Muslims, only 3 to 5 million, Allah has accepted, Allah has allowed to see the Ka'batullah. And some people will only do it once in a lifetime, putting all their money down for the sake of that given, what we may consider in today's time, hardship, difficulty, as well as ibadah. And not only are they going to be there, my brothers and sisters in Islam, they are going to be there in a way that is like no other travel. People go to the Vatican, people go to the White House, people go to various places of importance. And when they go to these places, it's done with a lot of pomp, a lot of fame, a lot of show. I have to go in a nice car, I have to wear nice clothing, I have to make a certain type of booking to be there at a certain time, at a certain place. As far as the house of Allah is concerned, the Hajj, it doesn't matter regardless of your color, regardless of your background, regardless of your socioeconomic status, regardless of your politics, regardless of the country you have come from, you have to wear one white piece of cloth. The person next to you can be a millionaire on your right. The person on your left could be a billionaire. The person in front could be a pauper. The rules and regulations is all the same for each one. Not only is the rules and regulations the same for each one, all are called upon to do the same given act.
And in the eyes of Allah, you are all and we are all equal. Why does Allah do it this way for the Hajj? Allah is teaching you and I a lesson that in this world we create a situation where I may say I'm better, you may say you are better. As far as the Hajj is concerned, is to teach us that the only thing that Allah accepts is your good deeds. If you don't do good things with your money, it is worthless. You don't do good things with your food, it is worthless. You don't interact with your spouse in a good manner, it is worthless. You don't do good things in college, it is worthless. You are not honest and genuine at your work, it is worthless. That is what we learn. That is why some people, when they come back from the Hajj, their life is changed. People look at the person and say, he or she used to do bad things. We cannot even think of the bad things they have done. How come? Imagine a man that has been sinning for 25 years, 30 years. All of a sudden when you look at him, you don't have that negativity anymore. That is one of the signs of an accepted Hajj. That when you come back, not only will you be like a newborn where your sins will be forgiven, but also at the same time when people look at you, they will forget the sins you have done, the wrongs you have done, the evil you have done. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, while there are people that are representing our Muslim community overseas for the Hajj, we should beg Allah that their du'as get accepted. Yes, we should make du'a for them, but we should beg Allah that He accepts their du'a. Because whatever du'a the Hujjaj are making, if that one of those du'as become a reality in our lives can change. All of a sudden, we can start loving the things we are not loving. We can start loving our children more. We can start loving our parents more. We can start loving honesty and integrity much more. We can start loving our masjid much more. We can start loving the Quran much more. One dua. Just one dua we need accepted. And it can create an entire change in our lives. One of the ayah we have mentioned, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. I remember a brother asked us the meaning of this dua, and Sayyidina Mujahid, one of the great individuals of the past, he says regarding this given ayah, it refers to that individual who gets an evil intention. That means you get up in the morning, today I'm going to get that guy. Today, when they come to me with a certain paperwork, I'm going to change the subject and I'm going to cheat them. Today, you have an evil intention. Whatever that intention is. Saturday night, I'm going to go and do this, this, this. And as that night approaches, as the time comes for a person to do that evil, the person says, this is what he says, my Allah is my creator. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is what I'm going to stand up towards. See, the Hujjaj right now, they are going to do important things. They go in front of the Ka'batullah, they go around the Ka'batullah, they go in certain places that they have to attend, and they have to stand and do those things in those places. And when you do that, Allah accepts, inshallah, that given deed, the Hajj, inshallah. Likewise, when a person realizes, I got to stand before my Allah, and I got to be accountable to my Allah, therefore I cannot cheat, I cannot lie, I cannot be dishonest, I cannot do wrong things. Even though he or she planned to do the wrong things, Allah says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ, for the one that had this fear of Allah, مَقَامَ, fear that he will come before Allah, and Allah is going to question him or her regarding their given existence. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. Because of that fear that person has of Allah, that he or she is going to be accountable and brought before Allah. As a result of that, Allah says, I am going to now give you جَنَّتَانَ, not just one jannah, two jannah. What does two jannah mean? I mean, one is enough if you know the definition of Jannah. And we understood. Allah is saying, I'm going to be so proud, I'm going to make things splendid for you. Even though you did not do that wrong, because by doing that wrong, you are going to hurt your iman. Because you safeguarded your iman for your benefit in this world, saved yourself from embarrassment in this world. In fact, if I save myself from embarrassment, isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? If you made an intention that you're going to drink something haram today and you didn't drink, do I need to give you something for that? Even American law says that if I make a promise to you, I'm going to give you $10 for not doing drugs, and I don't give you the $10, you cannot take me to court and sue me and say, I'm suing him because I didn't do drugs. The judge will kick the case out. It's the law. So, even though that is the situation, Allah says, because you had the desire to do wrong, but because you were strong and you let go of that desire, you broke the desire, Allah says, for that I'm going to reward you splendidly on the day of Qiyamah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and I mentioned the story before and you know it very well, he used to make nightly rounds. He used to go from one place to another. Now this is what you call leadership. You know, in today's time, the leader will say to the secretary, and the secretary will say to someone else, did you go and check on this and check on that? Sayyidina Umar himself, you know, talking of that, let me give you a different example. There was a man once, every night, he kisses his money. Before he goes to bed, he kisses his money. Very pious, but he was a leader. People said, why are you kissing your money? Every night before you go to bed, you kiss your money, you kiss your gold, you kiss. He just goes one way, starts kissing them. He says, you know, when I was an ordinary man, nobody made salam to me. When I was an ordinary man, even the dog used to chase me. Now that Allah has blessed me with all this wealth, people come, assalamu alaikum, how are you? You're okay, everything good. How's your family? How's your children? But before, when I had nothing, it's as if I didn't have kids, I didn't have a wife, I would be starving. When I'm starving, what they say, he deserves it, he doesn't work hard enough. Today, when I have all these treasures, salamu alaikum. He said, they're not making salam to me, they're making salam to all this gold and silver. So therefore, I'm kissing the gold and silver. So we have to understand from these stories, why do people like us? What makes them like us? When you realize, you'll realize no, very few people, if my brothers, look at yourself in the mirror, even you don't, not because of the way you look or anything, many of us don't even like ourselves. Because we know ourselves. When we look in the mirror, you look at your heart. And when you look at the heart, you know something is wrong. When you look at the hands, you know something is wrong. So Sayyidina Umar used to go at night. He used to walk, and you should go on rounds to see what's going on in the dark, what people are talking, what people are saying, what people are discussing. All these things, you shouldn't do it to laugh at people. You shouldn't do it to take out faults of people. But he was a leader. And as a leader, it was important for him to see the good things and the bad things that are taking place, especially in assisting the poor individuals. And as I mentioned before, he was passing this given house, and as he was passing that given house, because see, in back in those days, there used to be gullies or little valleys, not valleys, like little pathways. And if you look at pictures of, for example, places in Syria, places in Istanbul, you'll see that there are narrow, even India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, you'll see there are narrow pathways, and on both sides there are buildings or homes or whatever. And it sometimes weaves its way through. It's really nice, especially not used to it, to see that it's good. So likewise, he was going through this area and he's hearing different conversations as to what is taking place. And he hears a mother saying to the daughter, add some extra water in the milk, that way the milk can increase and we can make more profit. My brothers and sisters, who has not done this in their life? You know, sometimes, for example, something's expired, conveniently you put the price tag over that. I'm not giving you ideas, but you know people do that. Then conveniently on the license plate, you know it's expiring, so you'll find a way to put something over that. Oh, officer, I didn't know there was something over that, therefore, and you fill in the blanks. So we all get caught up with that extra buck, that extra dollar. Now, imagine, the mother is saying, add it on, and as far as the daughter is saying, no. The mother is saying, Umar radiallahu ta'ala will not know about it. He will not know. And what did the daughter say? Yes, mother dear, you are right. And this is again, we learn something that in Islam, there is no problem for a mother to tell her mother or a child to tell her mother, mom, this is wrong. Or for a child to tell to the parent, dad, this is not correct. But the hadith says, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. When a person is doing wrong, there is no harm in telling them they are doing wrong. But the manner in which you tell them, that can be wrong. So we should not be arrogant when we're correcting our parents. We say it nicely. We say it in a good way. So this child says, yes, mother dear, you are right. You are right. Umar radiallahu ta'ala an may not know about adding water to the milk. But my Allah knows. But my Allah knows of this. And if my Allah knows of that, that makes me a criminal in the eyes of my Allah. And I cannot be a criminal in the eyes of my Allah. Because that Allah is the creator of me. That Allah is the creator of you. That Allah is the creator of this milk. That Allah is the creator of that water. Water has its place. Milk has its place. Everything, my mother, has its place. Therefore, we cannot do that. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was so happy. And for the young ones of here, he didn't say, of course, me and you get caught up with beauty. The guy or the girl has to have a certain amount of beauty. Because we are living in an environment, we depend on media, we depend on all these things. And our brains has become warped regarding beauty. The girl has to look like this, the guy has to look like that, at the event we have to be, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's the way we have become. Sayyidina Umar said, go next day, go to that house, find out who that girl is, and get my son married to that girl. Again, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. The one that has fear of Allah, that they're going to stand, مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, they're going to stand before Allah, جَنَّتَانِ, they will get two jannah. And we can say, if your life in this world is beautiful and wonderful, your jannah has already begun. After Sayyidina Umar got his son married, history bears testimony that grandchild of Sayyidina Umar became the fifth Khalif, known as Umar Abdul Aziz. So we all want nice children. We all want successful children. We all want happy children. What type of children? Or how do we get to that level? You have to get an individual in our lives and be part of a community and society. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي جَنَّتَانِ. Be with people that have the fear of Allah. Yes, they will make mistakes. We all will make mistakes. But when you have the fear of Allah, you are able to reduce your mistakes, and the mistakes that you have made, you are able to seek forgiveness for it. And if you look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam this time of year, this is exactly what it is all about. Throughout his life, one thing he did, rectified, he not the whole world out there first. First it was himself. Where is Allah? Who is Allah? Is the cloud Allah? Is the sun Allah? Is the moon Allah? Who is Allah? Once he knew who Allah is, إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفة وما أنا من المشركين. He gave himself undoubtedly to Allah. After he did that, a good spouse. A good spouse. When he did not get a good spouse, he did whatever he could do to thereafter get a good spouse. He didn't say, well, now I got married, the rest of my life I have to put up with this. That's not Islam. If things are not right, that's why it comes in the Quran, rules of talaq, then you have to move on. And inshallah, Allah will make it easy. And that's exactly what Allah did for him. Allah gave him that wonderful spouse. And Allah also gave him, because of his continual effort, working on his family. That's what he did. So first himself, then his spouse, then his children, then the community. Yes, sometimes the order may change, but these were the most important things. And Allah says, because he worked on his community night and day, Allah says, Inna Ibrahima kana umma, he became in the category of such a monumental giant that we can accept every aspect of his life for ourselves to become better individuals. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, in conclusion, while we talk about all these things, we will end up with one point. Have the appropriate fear of Allah. And with the fear of Allah, perform your salah. With the fear of Allah, talk to your husband. With the fear of Allah, talk to your wife. With the fear of Allah, do your daily operations, whatever it may be. Even if you are doing something wrong, you know you're not supposed to be selling something because maybe you bought it through interest or whatever. It's halal product. But the way you got it was wrong. While you're selling it, at least say, oh Allah, I wish I didn't buy it through interest. That in itself will get you, inshallah, to cleanse your wealth, the wealth of your children and those around. So we all are involved in something or the other. But if we have the fear of Allah, you will see, inshallah, in your children, if not children, grandchildren, if not them, somewhere along the line. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us in fulfilling our obligations towards Him, especially in this critical month, in this critical time, in this critical period where our hujjaj are taking part in beautiful actions. May Allah accept their hajj, and may Allah accept their du'as, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each one of us an opportunity to prepare ourselves in going for the hajj.